You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
All right. Y'all ready?
For this?
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. What's up, guys? Welcome to the first and last ever episode 16 of the Kind of Funny Games cast. I'm Tim Geddes. We got the coolest dudes in video games reunited for the first time, and it feels.
I shook him into another dimension.
He was straight T-Rex.
Yeah. I liked that, man. That's just how cool you are, Colin Moriarty.
Well, some might say that.
Yeah, you were out in Iceland. I hear it's cold there.
Fucking frigid. Absolutely frigid.
Yeah.
As the name suggests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, was it really cold?
Yeah, it was fucking freezing. It's hard.
I thought it was the green one.
You think
there.
It was bluffing?
I thought Greenland and Iceland are supposed to be backwards.
No,
I throw you off.
I mean, Reykjavik, where I was, is the northernmost capital city in the world. Mm-hmm. And
it shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every time you walk outside.
And then Greg Miller.
Hey.
Who must be happy because it's the first time we've seen Colin in like...
Colin's back. It's good.
A week and a half.
I had to eat my yogurt and shame again today, this morning, and I was like, I remember this world.
Yeah.
I remember this day.
We're back.
With your fucking dirty ass, gross ass fucking yogurt.
I do so much for you, and I don't get any credit. Unsung Hero Part 2, Greg Miller.
Part 2.
Unsung Hero, Tim Geddes.
You can't do that.
It's true.
And last, we have Alfredo Diaz.
What's up,
the
Diaz?
Alfredo Plays on Twitter. Alfredo Plays on Twitch. And he's been doing really well on Twitch.
Yeah.
Just hit 500 subs.
Yeah. We're on the
Golden Nugget showers left and right.
Way sooner than I predicted. Thank you.
Golden Nugget showers.
30,000 followers?
30,000.
That's insane.
A lot of support from the Kind of Funny family and community.
Yeah.
They're
that's
amazing.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Best
shout
friends.
Out to all y'all. Y'all doing God's work.
Also, just so you know, I can't hear anything, so because I have a head cold. Well, yeah. I'm getting over one, so if yeah. I'm like really low or really loud, I mean, it is what it is.
I like that.
Is that a head cold song you were working on there?
No, I was like, head cold. I was like, that's the thing. All right, cool.
Yeah.
You ever heard that?
No.
You ever had a head cold before?
No.
Like where you're all congested in your head and you can't hear?
No.
But what's the difference between that and just a cold?
Head cold, you're super congested. That's like the defining factor. Cold, I feel like you have a sore throat, you're coughing, you're sneezing, whatever.
Mm.
Head cold, it's all up here. You feel like somebody in like a NyQuil commercial.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying.
Good.
I know all about that. Guys, a lot of things have happened in the last couple weeks in this world of video games. I don't have a segue from that.
I was like,
I don't have a segue at all. But
hold on, Alfred. I'm sorry. Kevin's asking me to raise my antenna.
Raise your mic a little bit.
Oh, that makes more sense.
I thought he was asking to masturbate.
Yeah, I was like, that's not.
He's like, do you want?
Not now,
oh,
Kevin.
Oh shit! I forgot. I haven't even told you about the game I got for our Let's Play tomorrow.
I'm so excited about
and
this.
The grin on Greg's
this is
face.
Great.
You want to know just the nutshell recap here?
Oh,
the nutshell recap.
Yeah,
it's a game.
Give us the nutshell recap.
Where you succeed by giving cars shifters hand jobs.
Sounds thrilling.
You and I are going to play that one.
I like that.
We're going to play that one.
We're going to be good.
It's a
Nick's
computer
not
game
good
for
at
sure.
sex games.
No, he gets all uncomfortable.
He gets really weird about
Nick
it.
Nick talks a good talk about being all sexual and gross, but yeah, then you give him a game with two figures you bang together to make sex, and
he's
like,
I don't
like this.
They're
I'm uncomfortable.
They're springing stuff on me. Yeah, that's Nick. Although I did watch the How Do We Do It? Let's Play We Did, and I laughed a lot. You know things
told
are good when you watch shit that you do, and then you laugh at it. That's my metric for success.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to then by that metric, I wasn't in it, but I don't. It's rare that I'm not in or around while you guys make a video, right?
Yeah.
Usually I'm around. I wasn't at the Guitar Hero event. You boys did a fantastic job.
Thank
I was
you.
A very,
Thank
very
you.
Big fan of your Let's Play.
I liked it too. I feel like we did a good job of. Well, first off, I'm not modest at all when it comes to anything. Second off, I think we did a good job of like. Talking about all the new features and stuff in the game, but
it was
actually
informative.
Playing it
and
having fun.
Playing.
My concern was like when I started, I was like, "Are you guys just going to play and horse around?" But you know, you were actually explaining. They had given you like the bullet points beforehand. Here's what's new about it, and you told us all and showed
it was cool,
us.
Cool. We've both been at IGN long enough that we kind of know how the events work and all that stuff. So it's like I know we're going to sit down, get the spiel, do all that stuff. But it was fun being able to say like, "Fuck the corporate politics of like having to just go through all of the." Well, this is new, and then this is new, and then this is new. We just literally did a Let's Play. I don't think anyone else did a Let's Play,
yeah.
Which we can see in the views and the reaction in the video, people really liked it, and it's like the most gameplay I think that anyone else has.
It was a great blend. It was like the scene from Ghost, but with a guitar.
That's really what it was. Hot, you know.
So the guitar is taking the place of like the clay pot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was that or if it was taking the place of course, the bottle cap. When you're trying to move the bottle cap or the penny or whatever it was.
No, no.
And then everybody goes, get off my train! Because he's a ghost on the train.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. But me and Alfredo had a lot of fun playing, and I think it comes across. And
yeah.
The one thing about the game that I think is really unfair is that it's really easy to judge just by watching it.
Yeah.
Playing it is a totally different experience. And like that's not some bullshit that I'm just saying. Now, you are awesome because I didn't have a good segue, but then you just teed me up for the best segue ever. Because guess what, guys? Mm. First topic: music games 2015. Mm-hmm. There's so many of them. How do we feel about
There's
this? Two, three, because I count Amplitude.
Yeah, Amplitude's.
I'm not counts. Letting that count, although it shouldn't.
Thank you for at least being there. Here's what I'll say about the music game. I didn't think they'd be back this quick. Mm. We had discussions about this when we thought they were going to come back. When the Rock Band came back, we talked about it on Colin and Greg Live and all these things, and it was just like. Has enough time passed? And I was like, I don't think so. And then when like it was like Rock Band's out, and then guess what? There's going to be a Guitar Hero as well. That's when I was like, we're right back to square one. Everything's fucked. It's going to explode.
Everything's
fucked. But after seeing Guitar Hero Live, I was like, oh, if Guitar Hero Live is different and Rock Band's the same, then finally there's parity. There's a reason to own both again. There's a reason for them both to be back at the same time. That's my one thing. I was concerned about them flooding the market too soon. But based on what I saw of Guitar Hero, if Rock Band's just Rock Band, then it's like, oh, okay, maybe this doesn't all blow up and kill everybody.
Yeah. Now, my thing, I'm a huge music game fan. Like, all three of those games I'm super excited for, and I'm going to put a lot of time into, specifically compared to how much time I put into most video games. Like, I actually really invest in music games. I don't think we need this much.
Well, sure.
Like, it worries me that there needs to be all of this, and it's like, I really wish that only one was coming back.
Of course.
Like, and the thing is, like, I don't know which one. Like, we haven't really seen too much Rock Band 4 yet.
Nothing
so it's
yet.
Like... But we can't really judge. But already, both of them have things that I really like about them, and both of them things that I'm like, oh, man, I wish you just changed this a little bit, or I wish that wasn't how it was. In my perfect world, it would be one of them, and it would just be a platform. It wouldn't be called Rock Band 4. It would just be called Rock Band. And forevermore, it's just adding on top of it. And
right.
That's it.
How do you add on forever. Top of it again?
Huh?
Show me how you add on top of it.
You just you do this, and then you just push.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's good. But see, I think something interesting that came across in your Let's Play when you were talking about it, right, is that Rock Band, and this is last gen Rock Band, right, and then the final Guitar Hero, you were like, they were party games. They had gone from arcade experiences to party games, and that was fine. Mainly Guitar Hero on the transition. Rock Band was always a party game, right? And so I have a feeling that Guitar Hero Live, if it's going to succeed, is going to succeed with the people who, like, when it originally came out and Freddie Wong was super into it, right? People who want to play it to be challenged, to do this, to play guitar. That's it. There's no bullshit in it. I turned it on. I was expecting, when I sent you guys out, right, I, in my head, without getting anything from Activision, assumed it was going to be full band, the kind of funny team goes and plays all at once. And then when I clicked the video, I was like, they're just playing, oh, it's only guitar again, or so it seems.
So far,
I mean?
At least.
Yeah.
They were very, like... They made sure they didn't say it was just guitar. We asked them, and they were like, well, for now, we'll see.
Yeah. So,
but I can't imagine them adding other instruments. No. Like,
right, yeah, singing at the TV with people booing you and stuff like that.
Yeah, like that just doesn't make too much sense with the game that they've created because of how complicated the guitaring is.
Right.
And what you're saying is, like, Guitar Hero 1 through 3 were very focused on guitar songs, like songs with crazy solos and the challenge levels and all this stuff. And it had this nice curve of... You knew what you were getting if you played any song on easy, medium, hard, or difficult.
Yeah.
Like, the different button combinations, like, if it was easy, it was just 3. If it was medium, it was 4. If it was above that, you're sliding and all that stuff. And it's like, you knew that going into it, and every song was designed around, at all moments in the song, you're doing something on the guitar.
Yeah.
And it's like, even if the song has, like, a part that doesn't have guitar, you're doing the synth part because it wouldn't be fun to not do that, you
right.
know? But then once they switched to Rock Band, it was entirely a party experience. And, like... There was so many songs like Weezer, Say It Ain't So. How fun is that on guitar? Yeah, it's not.
Not at all.
Oh, fuck you. It's a great song. More.
Yeah, but it's just like you're just doing it. And even on Expert, it's like this isn't fun. This is just
the fun came from playing with your friends and being an experience and building
this whole
up your
party
star
thing.
Power and all that stuff.
So when I was saying earlier when I was like already I'm seeing things and I'm like, oh, why are you doing this? It's like as much as this new Guitar Hero Live is what I always thought I wanted to come back from Guitar Hero – it still is trying to be the party game, and here's a perfect game for parties, and it's just like, can you not do that?
Couldn't that be a lie, though? It seems like that could easily be a lie, a bullet point they're saying right now, knowing that watching people play it, they're going to be hooked on the guitar again. And how crazy can you get with the 6 total buttons and 1 strum?
Yeah, but I mean, just like that.
Just to put some thought into that, I was like, I didn't really care for those games coming back. And then once that guitar was in my hand, I was like, oh, I do miss this. Like, I do want to play this again. And like, I don't know. I do see them kind of over flooding the market this year, but. And maybe it's just a personal thing. Like, I did the whole Rock Band thing. I don't want to buy a whole set again because I think I'm going to have a bunch of friends to play with all the time, but that's not really how it goes. So I'm just going to buy Guitar Hero and then just do that.
That was the thing I took away from that video, is that that reminded me a lot of Guitar Hero 2 when I bought Guitar Hero 2 when I was living in Micah's spare room and I just moved here and had a little CRT and just sat there and played. All by myself, and I was fine with that. You know what I mean? Whereas Rock Band is a commitment. Rock Band buying and the new Rock Band needs to be that Colin and I have agreed that we are playing Rock Band in the living room at least twice a week or something with the girls or whatever. Like, we're getting use out of it. So it isn't like when I bought DJ Hero and literally played it one night and never touched it again, you know?
Yeah, DJ Hero was kind of whack, though.
It was a great idea. The song mashups are awesome.
The thing I'm most fascinated about these music games coming back is I personally am very excited about it. What we have to remember about with Rock Band and Guitar Hero is that the games were never bad. It was just that we were tired of them. So the formula still works, and I think that, you know, Greg was, I think, a little bit more surprised of them coming back so soon, and that also that they would be available this year, and maybe thinking that more space needed to be had. But I don't agree. I'm actually, like, kind of excited to play them both, especially Rock Band. The more interesting thing is that two publishers, Activision and EA, have stumbled upon the same thing in the same year to bring back these franchises, which is not a coincidence, I don't think, because I don't think they knew what the other was doing. I think that they were reading probably similar research, market research, maybe using the same firms to discuss internally whether these games could come back and if they could be commercially viable, and then struck at the same time. I think it's good that they're both coming back at the same time because the cream will rise to the top. If one came back undisputed, I actually think it would be kind of lame, because the narrative in 2008, 2009 was both those games going up head-to-head for a couple of years, and which one was better and which one people preferred. So I'm interested to see, like, how they go against each other and,
yeah,
and how the market reacts. I think these games are going to do very well, and I think that there's questions that need to be answered. Backwards compatibility is probably not going to be possible with the new Guitar Hero, but with Rock Band, it should be. I hope it is.
I think they said that it was.
Someone tweeted
at us yesterday saying, like, oh, no, backwards compatibility is already a thing. I haven't heard that myself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not up on it at all. But
busting out the phone. I'm going to look through the internet.
But, like, that's going to be pretty important with Rock Band. And I agree with you. Games as a platform is kind of a smart idea, and not only with music games, but with lots of games. We talked about with Call of Duty and Gran Turismo in the past. And it would be nice to do those kinds of things as well. But a lot of people think that one is being reactionary to the other, and I think that's kind of a foolish thought, because the licensing agreements that go into these games and all that kind of stuff take lots of time and lots of lawyer muscle and all that kind of stuff. So I just think it's a coincidence that they were both ready this year, and I'm sure that EA wishes Activision wasn't going and Activision wishes EA wasn't going. But as a consumer, we will all win, because they will both have to be better, because there will be competition on the market.
You know, going back to it, like, looking back at, you know, 2007 through 10, when these games were coming out and being a thing, was there a clear winner? Because I know that a lot of people look, like, somebody,
I think Rock Band is the clear one.
I know that like Mike Drucker yesterday tweeted, and he said that Harmonix is to Pixar as Activision is to DreamWorks.
Yeah,
and it's just like, I get that as an overall statement, but it's like, the Guitar Hero games,
they gave up the ground. Real quick, hold on. Before we jump, let me put a pin to finish. According to the Never Wrong Wikipedia, Harmonix also promised compatibility with the over 2,000 existing songs that were released as downloadable content for prior installments, along with the possibility of backwards compatibility with guitar and drum controllers designed for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 versions, although new PS4 and Xbox One specific hardware is also in development.
Yeah, the problem with the hardware is it's probably going to be easy for them to hard code into the games. It's going to be difficult for the consoles to deal with that hardware.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
now back to this question. Here's the problem in why Rock Band has looked to be the winner of that fight last time around. I'm getting ahead of myself in the analogy. Guitar Hero gave up the ground. They switched their model. They changed to be a full band thing when they saw how successful Rock Band was. If they would have said fuck it and stuck to being Guitar Hero and that's it, then maybe there's, you know, well, this is that and this, but it's very similar to, like, with the PlayStation 4, Xbox, right? Xbox is like, we're going to be always online. We're going to do all this stuff. Da da. PlayStation 4, hey, what's up? We're not. We're $100 cheaper in this. And Xbox immediately had to go, well, we take it all back. We understand you don't like that. Sorry, sorry, sorry. And that immediately puts that mark on you, right? Mm-hmm. That you're like, you're reactionary and you're not in it to win it. You didn't have a vision. It seems like Harmonix has always had a vision for Rock Band, right? Mm-hmm. You talk to those guys, those developers. Now, granted, you're talking about Harmonix versus Activision, right? Where Activision's very much, we're Activision. Harmonix is able, even though they're published by someone, to get out in front and be like, we're the people behind this. We love music. Here's this. We're putting our developer or our staff's bands into the game. Is then like, we're going to have DLC every week. And like, they like showed all this TLC to that franchise. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it does become one of those interesting things with it where, since Guitar Hero was first and Rock Band was second, I think we get into that echo chamber a bit where I think to us, to inside the industry, Rock Band was what it was all about. We all loved Rock Band. I can't remember the number of IGN Rock Band parties we had, and that wasn't limited just to IGN. That was every other thing. But mainstream, I remember when my friend, she hit me up. And she's like, hey, for my husband, he wants Guitar Hero, but should I buy him Rock Band? I had to explain, buy him what he wants. I know mainstream, I think Guitar Hero has more cachet than Rock Band, but Rock Band's the better game. Yeah. One of those kind of arguments, you know?
It gets so interesting because, I mean, at the end of the day, Rock Band was Guitar Hero at one point. Like, 1 and 2 were made by, like, the lineage goes Guitar Hero 1, Guitar Hero 2, Rock Band, and that's where Harmonix went, and then Neversoft did Guitar Hero 3, and then I don't even know who the fuck made the rest of
World
them.
Tour.
Yeah, there was World Tour, the Legends of Warriors of Rock. Yeah. I don't even fucking know.
Band Hero.
There was
Band Hero had Taylor Swift in it.
Yeah, that's true. And then there was like a million of the like random like Aerosmith, and,
right? Beatles,
yeah. The 80s. Green Day. Well, Beatles was Rock Band.
I apologize.
So it's right, like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like
Van Halen.
We kind of get the industry gets stuck. Oh, Rock Band's the winner. But I don't think it was that clear it in was. Terms of
you're wrong.
But I mean, you know the sales.
I don't know the sales numbers, but I mean in terms of quality, I think one was clearly the winner. the bigger thing with Guitar Hero,
I don't know about that with quality though. I mean, quality, they were both
in my
like...
mind. I do, yeah. Like I think that the Harmonix is the developer that pioneered that space. They went in a different direction and made it applicable to, you know, to rhythm, in addition to treble. So, you know, so I think that was a revolution that they patted down and did first, and I think that it worked out pretty nicely for them. I mean, I was not interested at all in Guitar Hero after Rock Band came out. And we played a lot of them. I mean, what a lot of people don't know or don't remember if they weren't long-time IGN readers, and Greg and I were there when it was happening, but even before us, is that Guitar Hero largely succeeded because IGN, like, loved that game. And they
beat the drum hardcore for the original Guitar Hero.
Was like,
Tal in his cave and everybody out there rocking.
Yeah, a lot of people, like, don't know that Guitar Hero was somewhat under the radar until, like, it found evangelists in the media that really liked it. And talked a lot about it and wrote a lot about it, and so Guitar Hero did really well, so that, like, I think that you have to follow like the core lineage, like you were talking about who was making these games, and I think that, you know, Rock Band stole the thunder in my personal circles of friends. I mean, that was the same thing, you know, because you also invested in these instruments and stuff like that, and so you have to go, you know, some of them are, you know, cross compatible, I guess, but ultimately, like, you had a kind of go where you were spending your money as well, and these were such investments. The bigger thing is that if there is backwards compatibility with the new Rock Band, and I'm not confident there will be because I don't think it's going to work, is that you can go to your, you know, your local Goodwill or whatever and just pick that shit up for really cheap right now. Like, the minute that's announced, you know, like, you better make a move.
Making bank off them $3.99 guitars.
I just remember Rock Band kind of just doing their thing, and then I fell off into that boat because Guitar Hero was doing like Van Halen and like some other weird stuff, and I was like,
Van Halen's awesome.
I was like, I respect,
but I mean, yeah, stuff that our generation didn't necessarily
stuff that our generation
about.
Wouldn't really cling on to.
It wasn't Taylor Swift. That's
what Van Halen did
for us.
So that's how I remember. I don't know. For me, I was like, yeah, Rock Band was the way to go.
Yeah, I don't know. See, it's really interesting to me because I get all of that, and it makes sense because, yeah, when you invest in Rock Band, you're just going to keep going that path. And it's like then when a year, I think it might have been 2 years later that Guitar Hero decided they're going to add their whole band and whatever. It's like everyone's like, well, I already have this and I already don't use it, so I'm not going to get that. So it kind of had a bad taste. But when you played the games, they were great games. Like, if you're going to review the games, I don't think that Rock Band was better than Guitar Hero, even like when it was the full band setup or whatever. And like the drum set was awesome with the, I don't remember if it was 4 or 5, but it had more than the other one.
Yeah, like 3 toms or 2 toms, 2 cymbals.
And it was cool. Yeah. Like it
and 311 was Guitar Hero. But yeah, I think largely the performance on them were equal because, I mean, we used to play them all the time at IGN. in the old demo room in the old office. But I think a lot of it has to do with like the songs that you prefer too, and there was cross pollination, but not necessarily. So I mean, it's like about the it's an expensive game. It's a fucking it is an investment. If you spent $100 on DLC on Rock Band, you're not going to suddenly go play Guitar Hero. So it did kind of send you into a certain niche. Yeah. Now that I know Rock Band songs will work with, and I don't know how they licensed that out, but they figured it out. The Rock Band, old Rock Band songs will work with the new Rock Band. I mean, that's fucking huge. You know,
yeah,
like that. I mean, that's like that's like pretty much sold me on Rock Band already.
See, that fucks me over though, because I want to play on PlayStation 4, but I played on 360 last gen. So now I have all this giant library of 360 music. Maybe I can somehow redeem that. Eric Pope, get on that. Figure out how to make that happen.
That would be nice. I don't think that's beyond the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
I didn't even think about that. I have hundreds of songs for Rock Band. I think it's pretty much going to push me there, into that.
Well, I mean, now it's not even a question, though, like because Guitar Hero is different.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too, is that Guitar Hero is not what I mean, it looks cool. It's not what I want to play. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, what I hope with Rock Band, like when they really flesh it out, and I've talked about this before, like I'm a musician, and I like playing these instruments, and I think it's fun. I think playing drums on these songs on Expert is largely indicative of the way you would really play a song with obviously not a real kit. The thing that used to bum me out is bass, because bass is really fun to play, and I felt like it was kind of an afterthought. Like I play bass, and I think it's a really fun instrument. I'd like for them to make a different bass module, like a different instrument that
a different guitar.
Yeah, like that has maybe a fewer frets and something that you would pick instead of, or like you could pick, or you could like just play it differently. Just make it different, as opposed to like, oh, who wants to play bass now? And it was always like the thing no one wanted to play. And the bass is fun. Like bass, like there's fucking like, oh, I was listening to Space Hog in the meanwhile, that song in the meantime or in the meanwhile, whatever, that mid 90s song.
You have to give me a few bars.
I can't even sing right now. I'll bring it up on.
I know.
Here,
so it's funny. Sometimes in your conversation here, you talk like you're at a wake.
It's great. It's really awesome.
Sorry, I can't. I can't
let me tell you. It's really sad.
I can't hear myself and my throat hurts. But there's like awesome bass lines, and I don't feel like they explored the rhythm as much as they could have, considering the implementation of bass, because drums did it so nicely.
Bass sound like, because it was just like it was a stepchild, the guitar, and so I could play bass on hard. Be like, yeah, I'm doing something on
it.
It
was always just like who wasn't good at it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was listening to the song. I was like, this would have been great. You know, this is like a great song and like fucking awesome little walking bass line in there. So I would just love for them to. Yeah, I always jumped on the bass because I'm like, it's fun, but it didn't do anything to differentiate itself from guitar because everyone thinks guitar is such a fucking dominant instrument for whatever reason. So like, it would have been cool to have that, and I hope that they do that. That was like one of the big problems with both of those games.
My biggest problem was that the Rock Band guitar sucked ass.
Yeah, I mean, that you mentioned it when we got away from it, was the equipment quality or whatever. Yeah, 1,000%, I will give you the grant. I will totally tell you that, yeah, Activision had it fucking down in the guitar. Those Rock Band guitars were garbage.
They were fucking garbage, and, like, I don't know why they switched to the, like, it's like a flicker thing instead of, like, a... There used to be way more
first,
like,
didn't really click.
The whole the first kind of, yeah, it was all mush. The buttons were mush, and this strum was mush.
You could use the guitars on the other game though,
right? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. How much we love the other one. I forget which one it was. I guess it must have been that first gen Rock Band 1 versus Guitar Hero 3, where I bought Guitar Hero 3 just for the guitar.
Well, yeah, the Guitar Hero 3, the Guns N' Roses whatever one, that was Guitar Hero 3, right? Yeah, where it had the Guns N' Roses guitar.
I remember
that was the best guitar.
It was the black guitar, and it was the first
wireless
one.
Yeah, that was the fucking best. Well, the first wireless for all of them. There was a wireless one on Xbox.
Right? Shut up.
360 for Guitar Hero 2.
No one likes you.
Yeah.
Xbox.
Pretty sure. Anyways, all right. I'm excited for fucking all.
I mean, we can all agree the best Rock Band was Rock Band DS. With your little accordion.
Guitar Hero, yes. That wasn't a Rock Band.
I don't give a shit which one it was. I'm just making fun of your vast library.
Well, I fucking enjoyed the shit out of the Guitar Hero DS game. It was great.
You must have been a cool kid.
I was.
Strumming
my shit.
Me and Craig Harris were doing the same thing.
Good. It was fun.
What up, Craig Harris? Rest in peace.
All right, guys.
Craig Harris.
Second topic, Smash Bros. DLC.
Boop, boop.
So Mewtwo, people are getting him today. As of the day of we're recording this.
You see, but you're indignant about it because they're not getting them for the right reason. What's happening? It's like YouTubers
people are getting them for the right reason. I just fucked up. As people know out there, because I've talked about this before. If you wanted Mewtwo, you had to like register your Wii U and your 3DS codes, and you get them like a week early or whatever, and then otherwise we have to buy them next week or in 2 weeks.
Okay.
I never thought that they would have given them early. And like I forgot. It was like, oh, the last day to register is tomorrow. And I was like, oh, I would have to go home, get my two coffees, do all this. I was like, I don't want to do any of that. So I was like, I'll just buy it for $5 when it comes out. And then it comes out later. I'm like, oh, well, I made a bad mistake.
I screwed up.
So I don't got Mewtwo. I don't really care about Mewtwo, though. I didn't really use him in Melee at all. But I want new Smash Bros. Characters. Gives me an excuse to play again. Forces us to play again, and I like that.
Yeah.
You can vote for what character you want, right?
Is yeah.
What's going on?
So they announced Mewtwo way back in the day, like before the game came out. Then recently they announced Lucas is going to be the next character coming in June, coming back from Brawl. And now there's this thing with like, oh yeah, for the next characters, we're going to let you vote for whatever character you want. And originally people were like, oh, just Nintendo characters. And then Nintendo was like, no, any game character, whoever the hell you want, vote for it. And the what's interesting to me is the voting is open until October. That's a long ass time. Mm-hmm. So they're getting a lot of data here. That's interesting to me because it's like, why? Why wait that long? Like, why wouldn't they just, you know, put out something a little earlier than that? Because if Mewtwo is in April, Lucas is July. I mean, I guess October is the next thing, but then that wouldn't make sense.
They
because,
won't be
like,
making all these. Yeah. Characters. I mean, it'll probably be like, it's not like it's
there's
that
easy.
There's
probably other characters.
Sorry?
There's probably other characters too.
Yeah, that's true too. Mm. But yeah, so I mean, like, it's not a public facing vote, right? Like, you cast your ballot and I never know.
And it just goes out.
Yeah.
Out of there.
They probably have the agreements locked up already.
Exactly.
You as far all voted as for Tails.
Yeah.
Here he is.
Here's Tails. But like, that's what I think. It's like, I don't think that they're actually even looking at the votes because they're just like doing this to cause people to talk about it. Yeah. And oh my God, are people talking about it? Like,
yeah.
It's one of the top NeoGAF threads every day. Is talking about what Smash Bros. Character do you want? And like we get tweets all the time. What characters do you want? Who are you voting for? Help petition to get this character in and all this stuff. I'm like, holy crap, people are taking this really seriously.
Yeah.
Which is cool because people care about Smash Bros.
I've noticed.
So my question to you guys is what characters do you want in? Which characters do you not want in? And who do you think will get in? I think you have a lot of insight into this.
I mean, I wish that they would remove half the fucking characters already in the game.
But the
problem with this with the roster as it is there's just a lot of just these fucking like it's like all these Fire Emblem characters.
Okay,
it's like who the fuck are any of these people? Like I'm like they're all the same. You know what I mean? It's just like dude with cloak and sword. It's like yeah. Oh, that's fascinating.
So there's another thing that I forgot to say. There was another rumor that dropped a couple days ago. Since because the Mewtwo DLC is coming, there's a patch that was released for Smash Bros. People got in, kind of hacked all the info, and found a bunch of shit.
Hacked the planet.
Yeah. And, like, you know, people do this all the time when games come out, specifically for fighting games and games that kind of, like,
that's
have
how
secrets.
Every PlayStation All-Stars game character came out. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was the best.
That type of
it
shit.
It was all in there. I was like, oh, God.
And, you know, back in the day, Brawl was hacked, and people found that there was, or Melee was hacked originally, and we saw that there was, like, day-to-day, like, files in there somewhere. And then Brawl was hacked later. And it was found that there was a Dixie Kong and Mewtwo and one other character. And then now that it's happening here, there was this rumor that Ryu from Street Fighter and Roy from Fire Emblem.
Good, Roy. Let's get Roy back in there.
Roy's our
indistinguishable
boy, dude.
Fire Emblem character number 7.
Who he was in Melee. Would come back. And then those rumors have essentially been like squashed and just they're total bullshit. Yeah, if Roy ever comes back to a Smash Bros. Game, I'm going to be shocked. He was my main in Melee and I fucking loved him. But yeah, if he came back, that would make no sense. Because then there'd be three of the exact same character.
It's too much, man. There's just, and I just, I respect Fire Emblem. I think it's fine. I just don't understand like why it just seems a little uninspired. I feel like this roster for as big as it is a little bit boring. And I think that it would be cool for them to start really chasing some more third parties. But I also think that there are first party characters that could be in the game that aren't. I mean, I'm really still confused why Ice Climbers aren't in the game. And I would like, you know, Ice Climbers were my main and I enjoyed playing as them. And it's a little, I know why, like they couldn't make them work on 3DS and stuff like that. It's like, which is so funny. 3DS is like so underpowered that I can't use the Ice Climbers. I was like, all right, that's an interesting issue to run into. But the character that I've wanted for a long time that I've talked about is that I think Dr. Wily would have been a cool character. And this is before even Mega Man was in the new one. When I played Brawl and Pokemon Trainer was in it, I was like, this would be an awesome way to do Dr. Wily, to keep him in the background, and then he like summoned Robot Masters to fight for him. I think would be really cool. So that's one of them. And I like the more like when Snake was in it, it's like cool to have a more serious character. I wouldn't want a character like Ryu in there or whatever. I would like to keep it as cartoonish as possible, unless it's in the Nintendo universe. Then you can have, you know, Captain Falcon or whatever, like more humanoid characters. But I can go on and on about the characters that I actually want in the game.
Simon Belmont.
Yeah, Simon Belmont would be extraordinarily awesome, or Alucard or Dracula or whoever. If you want to get like really nerdy, you can get Sypha in there, another more obscure Castlevania character. But that would be pretty cool. I mean, when you explore like the first parties or the first party kind of content, they've done a nice job of exploring, like getting the villager in there, or even like Wii Sports Trainer or whatever. But I do wonder, like, there's no one from Star Tropics in there, for instance, or like they can go deeper and deeper. And I would like for them to do that. I don't know, but the roster's already very big. But I wish that they would give a thing where, like, which characters don't you want? And then they just take like five of them out.
You're like, so funny. You're like the only person in the world that wants play less. Anymore.
No, I would love for them
to replace. Who do you want replaced?
I was actually thinking about this the other day. Since it came to Wii U and 3DS, I've not seen one single solitary fucking person play as one character. And if you can tell me who that character is, I'll be impressed, because I don't even think about him. And it says everything. Why is Olimar in this game? No one plays as him. No one.
People
I have not
Rick
seen
Shop
any fucking person with any of the people we've ever played.
No,
with.
We don't. Yeah, we just don't play as him.
Boring.
He's difficult.
And
to
I watch
use.
Videos too, and I don't. And I have seen people use him effectively, but I'm like, this guy. Like, come on, man. Like, get it. Get him out of there. It's just. I don't.
Get him out of there. Get him out of there.
That's so funny. The Fire Emblem thing is weird. Like, I can't believe there's that many characters in it, but it all comes down to Sakurai. He's a big fan of Fire Emblem, so he wanted to, like, support it and, like, stuff. Like, in a lot of ways, Smash Bros. Made Fire Emblem in America. Like, I wonder if the franchise would have ever even come here if it wasn't for
Melee. It made a lot of curiosity. I mean, that's the brilliance of the marketing angle of Smash Brothers generally. It's just, you know, people are exposed to this game, don't know who these characters are if they're not as into it as we are, and then they go and explore. So it is a nice way to do it, but they didn't have to do it with like all these characters. It's like just doing one
There's
or two
only...
characters and being like, here's, you know, not I don't need the entire fucking cast of every Fire Emblem game.
That's true. There's only one Fire Emblem character that didn't need to be there, and that's Lucina, because her and Marth are identical, and she could have just been a costume alt, especially because they do costume alts in this game. So that never made sense to me. But besides that, Lucina, Ike, Robin are different ass characters.
I'm not saying they're not different. I'm just saying they are. They all come from the same universe, and they're just cloaked people with, you know, that are boring.
I don't know. I like them. I think they're pretty
it's
cool.
It's such a cartoonish game. I think those characters stand out as, like, being totally sterile and boring. Like, and I'm not talking about the way they play or anything like that. I'm just saying that, like, King Day-to-Day is, like, a funny fucking character. You know, like, Shulk makes a lot of sense in this game. I think that's a really brilliant move to
How
put
does
him
Shulk
in.
Make more sense than the Fire Emblem guys?
Because Shulk is from a new game that they want to we were just talking about it. They want to advertise, and I think that's a great. When I found out he was in the game, I was like, that's awesome. Like they that's a great idea, you know. So get another Xenoblade character in there, or something like that, as opposed to all these Fire Emblem dudes. It is just funny. I mean, the game is also made for, you know, Japanese audience as well, so we have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, and speaking of another Xenoblade character and Dr. Wily and stuff. They did also, with the Mewtwo update, you can have different Mii Fighter costumes and outfits and shit. And one of them is Proto Man, one of them is Mega Man X, and one of them is another Xenoblade character. That's all cool, but it's like...
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Whatever. No one uses Mii Fighters.
Just give me Snake back. I had fun with Snake.
He was funny. He was a funny character. I just don't think he fit. It was just weird.
No, it was weird. It was really weird.
So they need to be cartoony characters.
I would like for that. I mean, or like just a character with a real Nintendo heritage, or like Castlevania, or a more cartoonish character. I mean, I would want some sort of, you know, like, I don't want to say a homogenous feel, but something of like that feels like when you use one character or another, it's like a parallel, like from the same universe, as opposed to like Kirby versus Snake. I'm like, what the hell is this?
I thought we were just having fun and tossing stuff out, so I was gonna say, no, I'm not gonna. These are not. These
by the
not,
way, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I don't agree with that.
That makes sense. It makes sense.
I think it does feel like one world, and like even if they are different ass characters, like Snake and Kirby, it's still like I never look at that and go, this doesn't mix. This is weird. I'm like, all right.
I don't know. I always thought it was a little weird.
I mean, Snake's weird. To me, Snake's weird because of the other thing you said about it not having a Nintendo legacy.
Well, that's why I put Twin Snakes Snake in.
But that's just bullshit.
He was an exclusive.
If I'm just going like the Snake route, I'd be like Snake, Master Chief, Gordon Freeman. If I'm going like the...
This route? Makes sense of it all?
Collins route? Maybe like... I'm trying to think of like if Xbox could toss in a character. Blinks?
No. I don't want no Blinks.
I was going to say... I was going to originally say Batman. Because Batman Conker. Would be awesome, and you'd win that to get Batman
Conker.
In there. Conker. But then now I would say a legitimate thing based on this criteria would be Shovel Knight.
Yeah,
somebody
Shovel Knight.
Knew.
And I do that.
He would fit and look great in that.
And I think I have a feeling Shovel Knight's going to get in this game, which would be awesome. And that is a great.
Where do you feel?
A great example. Right in my balls.
Okay.
And I feel it deep in my balls, deep in my loins. No, I feel like you just have to kind of the aesthetic of the game matters. I like that Snake was in Brawl, but I was weird. It was fucking weird. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Metal Gear does have a Nintendo first pedigree in the sense that Metal Gear was an MSX game first, but then it was on NES, and that made sense. But you know, the bigger thing was that when Nintendo clarified like any game character, I was like, this is exciting because it got my mind going of like, are there other first parties smart enough to go to Nintendo and be like, you can use any of our characters? Because if like, that would be brilliant.
Take all the assets from PlayStation All-Stars.
But like, if Sony
just don't and actually go get Crash.
But if Sony was like, you know, it would be really smart for Sony to be like, go and use any of our characters. Like, anyone you want. If you want to use, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, again, Drake doesn't make sense. They're God. Like, yeah, but like, use Sackboy. That would make, he would fit perfectly. That's great. Or Spike. But like, he's not relevant. Sackboy would be like, you know, and that would be brilliant. And I was wondering, it's the same kind of question I had with Minecraft when Microsoft bought Mojang, which was, is Microsoft going to be smart enough to publish this on all the platforms? Mm. And at the same time, you have to wonder, is Nintendo and Microsoft smart enough to be like, or is Sony and Microsoft smart enough to go to Nintendo and be like, you know, our arsenal of characters is open for you to use in your excellent fighting game that is very popular and will do nothing but engender goodwill amongst your audience if we let you do that. But the lawyers will probably freak out. But that's what I got really excited about, because I assumed too it would be like, oh, you have to use a game from that played on Nintendo hardware or something like that. But when they said no,
I'll believe it when I see it, though. I feel like they're just saying that because that just sounds like such a bullshit statement. Like, there's no way that they're going to do that.
Like a hype statement, yeah.
Right? Like, there's like, that to me is just further proof that no one's even looking at the results.
I was going
to
say, when you compare what you're actually getting in the ballot box, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, like, I put Colin in as my thing. You can literally write whoever you want.
What if that happens?
And it's just, huh?
What if that happens?
That'd be
what
amazing.
If they pick Colin?
I don't fit in
that'd
there
be
either.
Good. Too uninspired.
It's unlikely that they would do it, but I think it's more likely than ever, considering the way the platform holders kind of talk to each other and deal with each other. Now, we were talking about on Colin and Greg Live today about how, you know, Phil Spencer tweeted congratulations to Sony and to From and the Shuhei and everyone when Bloodborne passed a million copies. It just seems like there's not too much salt between these guys anymore like there used to be. And, you know, so if you can get, you know, a character like Jack and Daxter or something in there, like, that makes sense. And that's cool to do. I don't think anyone Microsoft has would actually make any sense at all in there. But there are only a few characters that Sony has that would make sense.
When you said Microsoft,
oh, I guess Conker
Minecraft
and Rare.
Thing, that'd be really interesting. I don't know how the hell it would play or whatever, but I'm sure they could figure that out. That'd be interesting.
And then people would be like, why isn't this on Wii U?
Yeah.
Well,
it's too late now.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of characters that
NX,
just make
that's
sense.
Coming.
Like Bomberman.
Bomberman, cool.
Simon Belmont. Rayman was a rumored leak for a while, and it's like, he doesn't really have the history, but then when you look at like the Wii U, I guess, with like Legacy and Origins.
Origins and
which
Legends and Origins.
Yeah. Or not Legacy, yeah. I guess he has something there. And he can fit in the franchise. Like, he fits in the world for sure.
Sure.
You know, so that'd be cool. I don't know who else I would want. I do want Colin in a cloak, though. If he's in, he needs to be in a
cloak.
Give
me a big sword and
blue
a cloak
hair.
And make me boring. And
yeah, that'll be good.
And I'll fit right in there with the other Fire Emblem characters. I was thinking, there were some other guys, too, like, fuck, what was I? I was thinking about this not too long ago. Oh, we were talking about Toad. Like, that was, not Toad, Wart from Mario 2. Like, that would be awesome, you know, to have, like, a guy like Wart in there. There's
Birdo.
Just Birdo would be funny, or any like Mauser or any of the like Fry guy. Like there's just like certain random ass characters they can put in there. They have to. It's cool that they want to open it up. It makes them look very democratic. I think that they would be wise to just go back into their archives and see like what they're missing, because they're missing a lot. I was thinking about Microsoft too. I mean, everything with Rare associated with Rare, so Conker would make sense. Battletoads would make sense too. Banjo would make sense. So I don't know. They have such a wealth of things to choose from, and I think a lot of third parties especially would fall over themselves to be in that game. It didn't sell extraordinarily well, but it's very popular, and nonetheless, and people play it and talk about it, and it's kind of part of the zeitgeist, and it's going to be for years. So to get your character in there is a huge move forward. And you can find characters that don't necessarily make sense that they figure out anyway. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Pac-Man in the game, and like when I found out Pac-Man was gonna be in the game, I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? And they figured it out.
Yeah.
So you could find these older arcade style characters and get them in there. It would be cool, for instance, to have like Jumpman in there. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's basically Mario, but he's not. And like, to give him a different kind of moveset, like really go back and go you know, go deeper. You know, and a little more obscure. They did that with Rob, and they did that with Game & Watch. So it's like, they could do more.
Yeah, and there's like 700 other Pokemon. So
that's another thing that you brought up, is that, like, why are some of these fucking Pokemon in this game? Greninja or whatever the hell his name is. Really? You might as well put like Magnetite in the fucking game and just get it over. You know what I mean? Like, just put Magnetite in there and Snorlax.
I don't think Magnetite's a Pokemon.
Is Snorlax not in anymore, even as an item?
Magnetite's a Pokemon.
Magnemite.
Is it Magnetite?
It's Magnemite and Magneton.
Oh, Magneton. I was thinking Magnetite was like the one with the one magnet and the three.
Magnemite had two thingies, and then Magneton had three hats.
It's all three, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Whatever, I don't care. Put those guys in there.
Yeah, they should. That'd be cool. I want to vote for Magnemite.
Now, there would be one funny...
Jet Set.
Just Dreamcast?
Dreamcast.
Yeah. Easy Taxi Driver?
Shenmue?
Magikarp would be funny to put in there.
Yeah.
As like a joke character. Kind of like Dan in Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could actually use him effectively if you wanted to, but it's still like funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is that Smash Brothers game is excellent. And I'm so glad that they did it. I'm sorry that it's stranded on that hardware, because a lot of people aren't going to play it. Can you imagine how well that game would sell if it was on everything?
NX.
Yeah. On NX, yeah. But it's not even like an anti-Nintendo thing. It's just like, I'm really sorry that it's stranded on that hardware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this great game. Because I love playing it. And you have to buy like GameCube controllers and all that. It's just an expensive game to play.
Yeah.
When we were in Toronto, we were playing on Wii Nunchucks. Yeah, and it's like, I can't play like this.
Mm-mm.
You know?
So. GameCube controllers are cheap now, though. On Amazon for the first time ever. They're like $25.
Oh.
Can't believe it. Because they were like... skyrocketed for a while.
So for $75,
mm-hmm.
you too can play with your friends.
Yeah. It's fucking worth it. All right, guys. Topic number three comes from Patreon. This is from Michael Taylor. Where's the segue there?
Whenever you need like something epic, that's what you play. All
right.
Patreon made him think of PA words. Words that start with PA, which brought him the park.
Got
which
it.
Brought him the Jurassic Park. I think that's how it happened.
I'm thinking of Park City, Utah.
Oh, it's a nice place. I've been there.
What the fuck is... Where is Park City?
Olympics, yo.
Hmm. Park City isn't it where Sundance is, right?
Wasn't there the Olympics there at the one time? Or is that where you went... Is that where Damon and Nate went to see the...
I saw a Skyrim
White
there.
Game? Oh, okay.
You're talking about Rack
Give
City?
Give me a map, Kevin.
No, Rack City. What's Rack City?
It's a rap song. All right. Hey, Greg, Colin, and Tim.
Wayne's
I'm
going
to add Alfredo. I'm assuming he's going to talk to you, too.
Yeah.
We as gamers have a great admiration for stories and games. I've often wondered, though, if our metrics might be a little skewed. When you consider the relative differences caused by player agency to things like pacing, can we really judge the stories of games in the same way we do those of, say, movies? We get to take part in the story of a game and through our actions possibly change them. What are some of the unique challenges faced by gaming when it comes to storytelling? And what are some games... And what are some ways games have or could overcome them? Thanks for everything, Michael Taylor. Thank you, Michael Taylor.
For your support on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michael Taylor. Jurassic Park.
Park City, Utah now. Yes. Rack City leads to Wayne's World because he had a gun rack without a gun.
That's
there.
True. Park City, bitch. Park City, bitch.
Yeah. Judging stories the way we judge movies, yeah, there's an inherent problem there.
Mm.
And the fact that, yeah, games aren't movies, movies aren't games, but we always try to connect the two, which is not the best idea to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I understand what he's saying, right? If a movie has a slow start, you're still like, well, I've invested 30 minutes. I'll see this movie out. And then, oh, it gets so good at the end. There's a payoff at the end. And people always try to apply that to games and reviewing games, right? Of like, the game sucked for 14 hours. Yeah, but did you finish it? Did it get better? And like, that doesn't count. That's not the same time, you know, trade-off there. If the first 30 minutes of a game suck and I stop playing it, then yeah, I'm out 43 hours or whatever.
43 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Approximately
for every game I play. I'm rubbing Fredo's leg with my leg, by the way. Mm. So yeah, it's not apples to apples, right? It is apples to oranges.
Yeah.
How we overcome that? I don't know. I think as consumers, you have to be more invested in what you're buying and stick it through, right? When it gets to the point of like, well, I always talk about The Last of Us, right? And the fact that, you know, there was a gamble there for Sony and for Naughty Dog, right? Of Uncharted 3 finishes, and now we're going to put out Last of Us. And hopefully the audience and the consumer is smart enough that that by putting a sticker on the box that says from the creators of The Last of Us, you understand what that means. Or, I'm sorry, from the creators of Uncharted, you know what that means, right? It is a new IP. It is a new thing. It is them going off in a different direction that's, you know, foreign. You look at Activision, you look at a lot of the other big companies, right? They want sequels. They want proven concepts that get out annualized every year, get more and more money. And so for you to go off and do this, you have to get it to a point where the consumer understands or listens to word of mouth or review sites or YouTube or whatever that this game is good because, or this, there is a lineage here with these developers because, and there's a reason there, and that's how you connect it all.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
What do you think, Fredo?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Kind of feel like you can't judge it the same way you judge movies. The game sucks early on. It just sucks. it does. I mean, there's not too many games that I play where I'm just like, all right, well, the mechanics do get better. Like,
no, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know the mechanics pretty early on, right?
Terrible, then it's terrible. I don't know, playing... I played through all of Uncharted recently and The Last of Us, and I thought they were great games. I thought they were amazing games. So, I don't know. I'm still gathering thoughts on this topic, to be honest.
He's collecting data.
Okay. Yeah. Colin.
I think the reason we compare movies to games so much is because gamers are desperate for games to be taken seriously.
Right.
And I think that games are very young still. We're like just getting out of, as many people have noticed, noted in the past, like we're out of our like silent picture era now. So like where we are right now is still pretty young and pretty primitive. I think that there is some parallel nature between story and movies and games, because they're told with the same conduits of protagonists and antagonists and plot and all this kind of thing. The way games have, or where games have the advantage, I think, is in pacing. Because pacing doesn't necessarily have to be fast or slow. Pacing can be very environmental. You brought up The Last of Us, which is a great example. If you played The Last of Us just beat to beat, it would be 4 or 5 hours long. But the fact of the matter is it gives you these huge places, like Billstown, for instance, where like you can just explore it and let the environment tell you a story. And people that watch movies do not have that. Like, think about The Breakfast Club, like one of the great, I think, storytelling movies of, you know, of the last 40 years or something, a movie I hold very dear to my heart. We get the story through these kids' experience in a library during detention and their interactions with each other and the interaction with the principal and kind of just like this teen angst kind of shit going on. But we would be able to learn a lot about them if we were given 15 hours by just walking around the school and being able to go into their lockers and read their notebooks and talk to their parents and do all this kind of stuff. But when you see a movie, you have to have a tight experience and you can't do that. Games let you have an experience that's not tight. That's why something like The Witcher is so exciting, because it's going to be 200 or 300 hours long. And you're going to not get literal story for 200 or 300 hours, just like you don't in Fallout 3 and just like you don't in Skyrim. That's the beauty of a video game. So I think people are being too literal when they talk about story in games. And I don't think it's as pigeonholed as it is in movies. I think that there's a lot of freedom because you can do whatever you want to tell the story. So whether you're playing a game like Ori and the Blind Forest, which is very emotional, doesn't really talk to you, as we experienced in our Let's Play on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or whether you're playing a game like The Last of Us that is very protagonist-driven and there really is no antagonist in the game. And, you know, unless you want to talk about just everyone else is the antagonist, maybe, or the world.
The world.
It's about those characters, but you still, when Ellie's going through the record store and, like, talking about music, or she finds the broken arcade machine and starts playing it, or you learn about her, and there would only be a finite amount of those moments in a 3-hour movie or a 2.5-hour movie that would let you do that. So I don't think games are hamstrung at all. I think games are in a great place for storytelling. The ability of a game to tell a story is going to be heightened as time goes on, as people explore and find new things. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about player agency.
Yeah,
player agency is overrated, and I think that player agency is actually overdone.
What does that mean?
Player agency is choice. And, you know, in a very literal way, it's just the choice. And series that do that really well are exciting. We know Fallout 4 will do that, you know, because that's just what it does. We know that Mass Effect 4 is going to do that, and we are excited about those games, but it's not necessary.
Right.
You know, Last of Us doesn't let you make any fucking choice at all, including at the very end of the game, when you want to, because it's the fucking story.
It's telling you a story. That's the thing. When you see creators and developers owning that part of it, right, where like, and that's what I always talked about when we talked about Last of Us, no spoilers, but when you get to the end, I expected there to be a prompt, and there wasn't, and it ended, and that was the story. And I remember texting Neil and be like, oh my, what the hell? And that was the story they wanted to tell, right? And what's exciting when you talk about it, and especially when you talk about how young we are, right, is what you're seeing now in the indie market with these games that are coming out where people are telling you stories and doing these different things, whether it be Gone Home, whether it be Coming Out Simulator, whether it be something that's not about being gay. There's plenty of games that are – those are the ones that are just sprung to my mind in terms of games doing something different and telling you a story, right? There are all these different things there. So now you think about the kids who are growing up right now, coming of age, playing those games and thinking about being a game developer. And what are they going to make, right? It's the same way of like, how do we change everything? You just have to – age it out. You know what I mean? You have to, the video game violence argument ages out when everybody who grew up playing games is now an old person in Congress. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Same thing with stories now. As the people who are growing up, you know, the people who made Last of Us, the people who made all these other amazing, Fallout or whatever, grew up, you know, playing Mario. You know what I mean? These were their games that meant something to them, and they keep evolving, you keep changing. So now the people who are playing Last of Us, what does that mean for what they're going to make when they get here? And how they think about stories and how they think about games.
Well, it's so interesting to think even just about stories, like stories in movies versus stories in games. And like, with movies, movies are stories, right? Like, you can't really have a movie without a story. I mean, I can't really think of an example. You can have
Fast
games
and Furious.
I hate you so much. I can't even think of an example of a movie that doesn't have a story, but there's a bunch of games that don't have stories or have stories that don't matter because it's about the gameplay. I can't think of anything about a movie that you can say, oh, it's not about the story. It's about,
it's the about
effects.
The explosions.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I guess there is some of the
Transformers.
Well, I mean, that's true. That is true. But like, even
no, but
then,
people use that as an excuse of like, well, the story doesn't matter, but the story does get you from A to B. You have to have a fucking protagonist.
Yeah, like, you need to have a story. Whereas I feel in games, you don't need to have a story.
Sure.
So it's, I don't think we could ever compare video games and movies together. But I do think that there are more, the games like Uncharted and Last of Us and Gone Home and all those games, you can compare those to movies because they are about plot and their plot matters a lot.
Yeah.
And what's interesting there is like, you think about the story, and you were talking about Last of Us giving you this ability to like learn, and like Gone Home is another one where you're like, there's not so much in narratives. Then you go to narrative versus story. And then like, what's the difference there between the narrative being the actual plot points of this happened, then this happened, then this happened.
Sure.
Story being more, here's all the different things that create this experience. And I don't know if like movies can do the same thing that games do in that sense. Like,
sure.
Can movies have that level? Like, what's an example of a movie that has that story element to it, not just narrative and plot?
I don't know. I think people would look at something like The Shining or something maybe as something that has like all this deep hidden meaning if you found it. And there's a documentary about it. It's kind of fucking crazy, actually. But
yeah, the documentary is totally fucking whack.
But, you know, but this is the fucking exciting thing about games and how young they are and where they're going. Movies are always going to be movies. That's not to disparage them. It's just to say, like, you are going to sit in a fucking chair and you're going to watch it. And that's it. That is all a movie is ever going to be. You know? Ever. But when you play a game, it's going to be about way more than that. It's going to be about your interaction with it. And when you interact with something, there's various, if not infinite, permutations of the way you deal with it. You know, a game like Castlevania 2 is a great example. Like, it's a game that a lot of maybe our younger viewers haven't played or even really heard of. But Simon's Quest is Castlevania 2. That's an NES game. And what's so cool about it is that it's a non-linear game. And it's about, its story is about finding Dracula's body parts to put him back together to kill him again. But like, you don't, and that's because Dracula, like, when Simon Belmont killed Dracula at the end of Castlevania, he was given a curse. The only way to get rid of the curse is to revive him and hit him with a stake or whatever. And so like, he has to put them all back together and then kill him again. That's the story, and you can go through it really quick and find the five body parts at five different mansions, go to the old castle, revive him, and fucking kill him. It's fun. But the game is scary. It has a day-night cycle, and it's non-linear, and there are secrets all over the fucking place. It's like really obtuse. And the game, I was talking to someone recently, I'm like, it's one of the scariest games I've ever played in my life. And it's actually unsettling because of the music and the day-night cycle and the fact that no one really talks to you. And it's just weird. But you'll never have a movie like that. You never have a TV show like that because you're not interacting with it like that. You might be able to pause it frame by frame and be like, you didn't really enjoy the background or listen to the music or you missed something. But there's a one-dimensional kind of aspect to movies that, again, it's not meant to insult movies. It's just to say that like, games are next level. Games in 50 years are going to be telling extraordinary stories and doing extraordinary things. At the same time, we shouldn't disparage the way things are done more conventionally. We were reading a story on Colin and Greg Live today about one of the guys that made Ori and the Blind Forest making fun of World War II games and saying that like he wants to make something more like Schindler's List as opposed to like these kind of bro shooter World War II games. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of bullshit because like there is a room for a game like that. And I'm excited about that. We were talking about Valiant Hearts, which is awesome, a World War I game, a great war game. And there's nothing wrong with storming Normandy in 1944 because it's fucking fun. You know what I mean? And like, how else are you going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you being the fucking dude who's storming Normandy and fucking killing the Nazis, that's fun. So like, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we get a little pretentious the way we talk about story. That's the fucking big problem. There's a story to be told in a first-person shooter, and it's totally fine. I enjoyed Advanced Warfare
mm-hmm.
and its story. I thought it was really interesting and silly. but it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Yeah.
So when we talk about story, when we talk about player agency, which was like the obsession, and you saw it kind of roll out over a few years, and now it's gone again. Like, that's fine, but let's not get too pretentious about the way we talk about stories either, because there's going to be room for saving the princess stories in Mario, and there's going to be room for storming the beaches in Normandy, and there's going to be room for exploring a house and figuring out that you're playing as a or learning about a gay girl or whatever else we did in Gone Home. There's room for all of that.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, don't put spoilers in the comments. I've been beating the Gone Home drum forever. Get off your ass and play it.
Oh, whatever. If you have, first of all, it's 2 hours. You haven't played it yet. So you kind of, it's kind of on you. But you should. but that's kind of the thing, is that we just have to make room for everything. The thing is that Uncharted and The Last of Us, which you brought up three examples of things you can compare to movies. You said Uncharted, I think, obviously. And then The Last of Us, I think, again, obviously, we're going to get a movie. Gone Home can never be a game. Or it can never be a movie, rather. It's always going to be a game. Because that's all about environmental storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And your own pace. You don't even have to fucking do anything in that game, really. You just have to find very certain things. You can just hit all the checkboxes in the game. And
you could stumble to the final room. Like, find the thing that says go to there, and you go there, and it's over. You can just beat the game in like 5 minutes.
And that's uniquely game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's exciting, you know? The thing is that there's no game in my mind that doesn't have some sort of story, even if there's not a story in it.
Yeah.
Rezogun has a story. Like, it's just... And some games are made more exciting by it, you reading into it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about Mario 2 in the Smash Brothers topic, and like, there's a story there to be told about a dream and a dream world and all this kind of thing. If you want to explore it and think about it, there's a story in Pac-Man if you really wanted to think about it.
He finds
it
love.
Might be a drug dream, but it's like
he's chasing the ghosts of his past.
So yeah. I don't know. Storytelling is in every game, but it's to me, games are most like books. Mm-hmm. Not movies. And I think we should start maybe talking about them more in literary terms as opposed to cinematic terms. Because they're never going to be movies, and movies are never going to be games. But when you read a good book, you're seeing what you want to see. You're doing it kind of in sequence, but you're kind of learning as you go. Sometimes things are lost on you the first time you read it, and then it comes up again later in the book, and you didn't realize it at that time. I don't know. I don't think we talk about them in literary terms enough. I think that's really powerful.
See, I think that's interesting, but I think that goes back to what I was saying about just that's really for the plot heavy games, because I feel like so many of the other games, like they're more relatable to movies than books, because so much of it is based on camera angles and voice acting and all that stuff. Like that is kind of what creates the experience of the game. Like that is what the game, if you're reviewing the game, you're going to be reviewing those things about it. Like that's how important they are. Whereas with the book, you wouldn't be reviewing those things because there's not voice acting. You know what I mean?
Sure. But, I'm sorry. Sure.
Yeah. There you go.
I like all right. Satisfied grin.
Anyone else have anything else to add on this?
I just think movies in general just give you a variety of things that you can experience that movies can't, right? So
you mean games?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, the movies show you things games can't?
Yeah. Sorry.
Movies show you things games can't, or games show you things movies can't?
Games show you things.
Gotcha.
Thank you. All right. Good.
Yeah. And there's a variety, right? You have your games like Counter-Strike, which is a game you'll play endlessly, but there's really no story there. Or you'll have ones like Destiny, where it's a failed story, mm-hmm. but you kind of split your audience there. Some people still play it, some people still don't. And then you have games like the Telltale Walking Dead games, where if you're watching the show, it's like, oh my goodness, all these hard choices are being made. But then when you're actually playing, it's like, I have to make this choice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can make this choice, but I have to make, I have to decide. So.
Timer's counting down. Got to say something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, games are so interesting because they make you the character, and you do need to make those decisions and stuff in a lot of ways. Like, even if you're role-playing as this character, like, when things happen, you see it as it happening to you. I think Pokemon's a great example of this, where it's like the plot of Pokemon is pretty thin, like, overall.
There's monsters in the grass.
Your kid, go be the very best, whatever. But it's like, because of all the NPCs around and talking to everybody, you can get this, like, there's so many layers, and you start thinking about, like, the world, and, like, they created the world in such an insane way where everything revolves around these little monsters, and, like, there's backstories to so many of them, and, like, the whole Mewtwo subplot, and, like, they tried to create a new one, and, like, they failed by trying to clone Mew, and what happened? There's this, like, abandoned, burned down science building. What's a science building called?
Laboratory.
Laboratory. There you go. There's like this burned down laboratory and stuff. And you're like kind of going around exploring it and finding all these like like ancient tracks of like what was the Mew experiments. It's like, that's super cool. And then to then play Gold and Silver, and it's like you're this whole on a whole new world, you're a whole new kid or whatever. And then at the end of it to face Red, who was the protagonist from the first one. In a lot of ways, it's like it's this weird moment of like I'm facing myself from the last game. And it's just like, oh my God, like this is insane.
That's games. That's the true power of games, is putting you in somebody else's experience. And that's what I think where Colin's talking about books too. Books do a great job of that. If you read somebody's story and they're telling it to you, but they're telling it in your head, so you're in that section. And that's why your heart will beat real fast. And movies can give you that experience, but like it's more like, oh man, I love this character. I hope nothing bad happens to him. It's not the same as I don't want anything bad to happen to me. You know what I mean? Like when you're in a game and you're down to your last three bullets and you know there's all these enemies over there, when you're in Gone Home and I'm running house to house just trying to figure out what is going on. And not because I'm worried about this person. Can I help this person? Are they in trouble? Kind of thing. There's that. And then, like, you know, the multitude of other games, you get to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. And that's why it's so powerful.
Yeah. Or you have games like Arma, where people just kind of have this open world and they create their own little stories, right? People go in there and like, oh, I'm going to role play as a cop, or I'm going to role play as a drug lord. And
that's interesting.
Randomly interact with these people, right? Or just like, you go in there, if you guys are cops, you're just like, all right, well, there's a cocaine field. There's this torn up town, like, where am I going to go? Like, we're just going to run into someone, and who knows what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, that's like role-playing in a completely different sense, where it's like, you are creating your characters.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing character. Where you're talking about games that don't have stories or whatever. You make your own when you play it. When you play Minecraft, right? Like, when people play Minecraft together, they are making their own stories of this village that it did, and then this time the creeper came in and exploded this or da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest example of that is actually EVE Online. And we could dedicate a whole show to EVE Online and, like, how fucking crazy it is. But, like, there are no rules in that game. So, like, there are rules in terms of the confines of how you deal with your ship and all that kind of stuff. But, like, nothing is off limits. So, like, people rip each other off in that game and, like, the real world. And, like, all sorts of, like, crazy shit happens in that game because you know, CCP from Iceland.
Did you see them when you were there?
No, I didn't. One of the biggest employers in Iceland, which is funny. Their whole thing is, like, this is the world. And there are people that are like bankers that like actually take other people's money and like you trust that they're going to give it back to you, for instance, but there's nothing compelling them to do that. You know, like there's like all sorts of cool stuff in that, like where they're like they don't want to fight, they want to be the banker, they want to make ships or trade and stuff like that. It's awesome, you know, like you can't do that in a movie.
Arma has people that are just medics. You literally just call and just drive around and revive you.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
that's, we got to do some Let's Plays on that. All right, guys, final topic. Once again, we look to the audience. We tweet out every day that we record this. We're like, guys, what do you want us to talk about? And then you let us know, just like Arcade Lion did. And he asks, what game series need to end? I look to you, Colin.
God of War.
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank.
Yes. No. It's time for Ratchet and Clank to go away. Mm-mm. They've overstayed their welcome. Now they don't matter anymore. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
I want them to come back. And they are.
You want them to come back. Mm-hmm. They never left, Tim. No, okay. You can't miss that. Something that never that. Left.
I think, but they're a perfect example of wish that they left a long time ago and then we're coming back now. But I don't want the series to end.
For all intents and purposes, they did leave. You know, after a crack in time, there was not a real Ratchet game since then.
All the other ones were just like, nobody cared.
Doesn't
nobody
matter.
Cared.
They kept coming.
I don't even think Ratchet or Clank cared.
No,
about
they didn't
that.
Care. They did not care about All for One. Mm-mm. They were smoking cigarettes. Yeah. They weren't even keeping up the facade when they played. Like, oh, things are coming. Mm.
I mean, what comes to my mind is Call of Duty. Not because I don't like those games, but because I would love to see what they like, the hype they could build, and the heights they could achieve if they just fucking stopped.
Go
and
Grand Theft Auto model.
Yeah, exactly. It's not to say that like they're all, you know, Infinity Ward and Raven and all these guys are working on the game. It's not to say that like the same studio is making these games. Sledgehammer's game will not be the new Call of Duty for 3 years. Mm-hmm. But what is the power of Call of Duty? And could they learn something by the way Rockstar treats Grand Theft Auto, for instance, which is with a lot of respect, or the way Bethesda treats Fallout or The Elder Scrolls, which is with a lot of respect? There are games like that I wish that people would just, or series like that where I'm like, I wish they would just back off, because you're kind of like, I defend Call of Duty all the time because I think they're fun. But it's like you're doing damage to these franchises, even if you're making money on them, by just not leaving them alone. And look what you could do. Look at how much money Rockstar made and how much profit they made by just not regurgitating Grand Theft Auto. They can make a Grand Theft Auto game every fucking year. They can pay anyone. There's studios that would be desperate to make a fucking Grand Theft Auto game. And they kind of did it during the PS2 era. But they didn't reach their true financial heights until 4, And that was because people had been waiting for so long. Mm-hmm. And then again, even more now with 5. So
they were hungry.
They were hungry. No one's hungry for fucking Call of Duty. Like, you might be anxious to play. You might want to play the new one, but no one's hungry for Call of Duty because they won't make you hungry for it.
See, what's interesting to me about this question is that, you know, we kind of take it as, I think all of us instinctually take it as, like, what series do we want to end now so they can come back later?
Yeah.
But, like, what if it was just to end? No more in the future? Because, like, yeah, I would love Pokemon to end now and then finally come back in, like, 5 years as, like,
an MMO. Rebooted. This an feels MMORPG.
Something new. And so feel fresh. I can't believe
they haven't done that yet.
Oh, I know, right? But what series do we just want to end? And now, I feel like that's unfair to say to a bunch of shit. Because, like, I feel like then we can just throw a bunch of stuff out there that we're never going to play. To make it a little more interesting, what's a game that we would have one more game of and then end it? So they get at least one more chance to, like, wrap things up.
Uncharted.
You're going to get that.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, it looks like Uncharted 4 is that, or at least Nathan's story. But does that mean then there is somebody new, or we're doing something different, or, you know, there's going to be prequels, or I don't know what the hell's going to happen. But, like, I would like to see them give an end to that and be done with it.
That's good.
I would like for them to be done with Final Fantasy.
I was about to say Final Fantasy. How interesting would it be if Final Fantasy 15 was the Final Fantasy?
That would be depressing because I wouldn't want it to end looking like that. Even if the game, even if the game is great, and I don't know, we talked about the demo, and mm-hmm. There were some positives and some negatives, and I'm open minded. I have no expectations. I don't want it to end like that.
Okay, what about 16 then?
Not knowing
what 16 is, but
16, if it was a fantasy, high fantasy, fucking class based, wide open, beautiful game, hell yeah, that would be an awesome. Like, end it the way it started, you know. Almost make a Final Fantasy game like the original one that was not so dependent on story, that had a kind of a shallow story that was all about character customization and exploration and battling monsters. Just make it something simple and make it so it's a loop. So the last one goes back to the first one. But, you know, that's a cash cow. I mean, that's unrealistic. But it would be cool for them to do that.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Halo should end soon, to be honest. The story, like... We've had Master Chief. He was the only one. You know, he's protected the Earth so many times. Now there's other Spartans. Now there's Spartans fighting Spartans. Kind of feel like his story should kind of come to an end. Yeah.
But, I mean, besides story, just, like, gameplay-wise, would you be okay never having another Halo?
343 can make another game. Or Bungie did make another game.
Ever... I mean, yeah. I mean, they could make another game, right?
Well, think about how obsessed you are with Destiny.
Yeah.
And that was because Bungie walked away from Halo. You know, yep. Like, so it's not like they're not going to make. It's not that they're not capable of making a great game. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they are.
Say two more. Wrap up Master Chief's story, right? And then, or finish it off this trilogy, and then make another. Game.
Finish the fight again.
Finish the fight
for final times. Yeah, now.
I get that.
But I'm on this weird thing. I'm just like, I want more stories to continue because I just played The Last of Us. I just ran through all the Uncharted, so I'm just like, I want more. Of these franchises.
So the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm surprised Greg didn't say The Last of Us.
Yeah. Is it a franchise yet at this point, do you think? Can we count it?
That's comic
books. I mean, I would like it not to go. I would like them to leave that alone. But then again, I trust them. Whatever Neil wants to do. Metal Gear. Stop making Metal Gears.
Just recently playing The Last of Us, I feel like it'd be cool if they just started a new storyline. Different characters.
Different people?
Yeah.
What are they doing? Just surviving?
I mean, maybe the other side of, I don't know, I don't want to get into spoilers, but, like, the whole infection stuff, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. I feel like Ellie and Joel's story was really well told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want more Metal Gear.
You want more?
Yes.
After 5?
I want more Snake.
Well, here, what if it's all true, though, and Kojima's gone? Hideo Kojima is gone. You want more Metal Gear from Konami? Under no circumstance do you want it.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to get it. They got nothing else. You're going to get it.
All right. Spacetime Dave wants to know, can Destiny's DLC be a success without a raid? Have they cheated the season pass holders?
We were cheated?
Well, someone did tweet at me a picture of House of Wolves, and it says, brand new raid. And that was like back in the day.
That was like their marketing materials?
Yeah. Okay. So, back in the day. So, yeah, that makes you feel cheated. I love the raid. There's just so many feelings with this. I love the raid. Honestly, I don't... Initially, my thoughts are the Dark Below. It was a very expensive DLC. Do I feel like it was... The only reason you can maybe justify that DLC was because of the raid. Now, there's no raid in this one. I kind of feel cheated out of that, like 100%. But I have to reserve my judgment in a way because, like, they could turn everything around with the whole arena thing, right? Like, they could have the dynamics that they had in the raid implemented into the arena. And, like, who doesn't want – I said this to Greg already, but who doesn't like a horde mode style game type?
Yeah.
And, I mean, even for me, it's harder to get people to be like – to get six people together and be like, hey, you want to run this raid, this game in Destiny, which, like – a lot of my friends are just don't care about Destiny anymore, right? It's the arena's three players. It's easier to get people together, right? You could have that reward system. But a lot of people are mad because when you really look at Destiny, I feel like a lot of the reasons why it kept going and it is still somewhat popular now is really falling off was because of the raids, right? Is this big, huge thing where it's like, oh, check this out. Like, here's this thing that we implemented into an FPS game that isn't really, it's kind of brand new, right?
But people will get it, though. Destiny people are craving new content.
Oh, yeah.
I think they'll be fine. Because the question was, right, is it a huge holdup? What was the exact wording in the question?
Could it be a success?
Yeah, it'll still be a success.
It could be a success. Yeah. If they do the arena right. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to get it into a lot of people's, like, laps, right? You got to show them, be like, look, the arena, it's like three players and there's raid like type things in there, and you can play.
Colin, we got 4 yes. minutes until 4.
Yeah,
I know that you have some real life shit going on. Are you leaving right in 4 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna look through questions that are directed at you.
Playoffs.
Matt BW93 asks, why won't Colin play Bayonetta or Wonderful 101?
No interest really in playing them. I'm not typically an arcadey, for Bayonetta, I should say. I'm not really typically into arcadey games. So when Bayonetta came to PS3 and Xbox 360, I just didn't care. There's some examples of that not necessarily being true with the old Ninja Gaiden games. Not the old Ninja Gaiden games, but, you know, the Xbox ones. But there's not a huge appeal for third-person action arcade action games for me, so like it's just that's not what I'm going to gravitate towards unless there's something super unique about it, and I don't really feel like there is just on the outset. You know, the reason I started playing a game like Vanquish, which is more of like a third person kind of shooter, is because it was fucking cool and it looked interesting and I wanted to play it. But I can play God of War or something like that if I wanted to play a game like that, and I fucking hate God of War, so it's like why would I why would I play, you know, that particular game? So with Wonderful 101, I just didn't think the game looked interesting or good. Mm-hmm. So it's really just not for me. That's why I didn't play them.
So I'm really excited for your answer to this one. At 8-Bit Abs asks,
yeah,
would you rather Shovel Knight 2, which is an NES-style sequel that's slightly different than the core one,
right?
Or Super Shovel Knight, which is a 16-bit sequel?
I'd rather them stay with the 8-bit. But I think that I do think that their vision might be to do something more like Super Nintendo. And then evolve it from there. No, I think that there's...
Are we going to get Shovel Knight 64 at some point?
Maybe. I think you're going to get a Shovel Knight sequel. I think that's obvious. What they'll do with it remains to be seen. They're a small team, and I think that they worked really hard on kind of that engine and getting that pixel graphic look really right and nailed it. And I think they'd be really foolish to abandon it. And I think they know that. So I think we'll get another Shovel Knight probably in another year, year and a half.
Would you rather a straight sequel?
Yeah.
Like a Mario 3 sequel, style sequel or a Mario 2 style sequel?
Mario 3 style sequel. I mean, Shovel Knight's still Mario 3 already. The... I like some of my favorite games are six games that are basically the same because they're so fucking good. And Shovel Knight is a game that's like that. They're easier than I don't think they're as good as Mega Man, but, you know, another 8-bit Shovel Knight game with just 8 new enemies and a new world to explore and fight and play and some new puzzles and stuff, that'd be awesome. I'd love that. Yeah.
All right. Kevin White 24. This will be the last question for Colin.
Racist.
He wants to know, will Colin play Metal Gear Solid 5 and does he think it could rekindle his love for the series?
Yeah, I'll definitely play it. I'm most excited about the open world element to it, but I, you know, my love of the series has been dormant for a long time. You know, MGS and MGS2 are fantastic, fantastic games. They always will be, but I think that series should have ended a long time ago. And I don't. They're kind of running it into the ground at this point. I don't even want to play for the story. I don't even fucking even know what it's about at this point. I want to just play it because I think it looks fun, and I think Kojima, if this is a swan song, there be something special with this game. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna play it when it comes out, and we'll see how it goes.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
I'm sorry, I have to disappear.
Bye.
Go Islanders. Good luck.
Go Bye. Islanders. Fuck the Rangers, right? That's the thing.
Yeah. Capitals. Capitals is who we're
fuck
saying.
The Capitals.
This round, but yeah, fuck the Rangers.
Fuck the Rangers. All right, guys. Back to us. Let's look at this. What do I got for y'all? At Keith Schmidt wants to know, talk about how awesome Mortal Kombat X is.
Fredo?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. No, the fatalities are fucking brutal. It's sick. And I don't usually play fighting games, but I don't know. Mortal Kombat is one of those things where I think it really gears itself towards people who don't play fighting games, right? Like, you play...
There's a spectacle to it.
Yeah, exactly. The brutalities and the fatalities and all that kind of stuff.
But earlier, I saw a guy's balls explode.
Yeah. You know what
Holy
I mean?
Holy shit.
And, I don't know. I think Mortal Kombat X is really cool. I think it plays well. I mean, I played through the campaign yesterday. It's a Mortal Kombat campaign, you know.
Is Liu Kang back? Is he not dead?
He's...
I don't care about spoilers. Spoil the fuck out of this, please.
I mean, it's not... I mean, he's dead, but he, like, he's... Quan Chi, like, brings him back.
Got it.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. That's Quan Chi does.
Yeah, one of my favorite things ever. I remember me and Curran back in the day rented Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And the intro cinematic starts off, and Liu Kang straight dies. And yeah, then the announcer's, Liu Kang is dead. It's like, what?
Yeah. I mean, no, the game is just, it's just fun to play. It's a fun fighting game. I mean, when it comes to the story, though, I mean, Liu Kang, I remember, used to be like, oh, Liu Kang is such a cool character, and he did bicycle kicks and shit. But, like, he's such a basic bitch now. Like, he's just so, compared to everyone else, like, he's just so basic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also it's
ordering
like
Starbucks and stuff.
Yeah. So
wearing his Ugg boots.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a fun game to watch. It's a fun game to play. Mm-hmm. And for people who, I know a lot of people are just like, oh my God, like I don't play fighting games, but I want to play Mortal Kombat. I mean, it's fun to get into. And you can buy easy fatalities.
How do you feel about that though?
A lot of people are against it, but as long as it's not pay to win,
yeah,
you're not like buying easy combos that you can use in the middle of the game. Right. Like that's just.
So what are you doing?
It's just
rather than have to go through the whole convoluted combo system.
Yeah. So instead of being like
two buttons,
back down forward up X right for the fatality, you just like you hold I guess on Xbox you hold the right trigger and then press. One button for one fatality and another button for the second fatality.
And you have to pay for this on top of the game.
It's like $5 for all 30.
You get 30 tokens that you can use. Correct me, right?
Is it 30 tokens?
I thought so, yeah. I think it's token-based.
Oh, wow. If it's token-based, then, yeah. But I mean...
Well, now let's double-check that so we understand
we'll double-check
it. It's token-based, and then the other thing about it is that you can get them through playing. You earn the tokens while you're playing through the challenge.
That you can definitely do.
The rumor is that they dialed down the frequency of like what they're giving out after... Like, reviewers played it, saw how it worked, and then they dialed back. And this is what I heard on Total Biscuit Podcast that I was on from him, is that they dialed back the amount they're giving out of tokens to kind of encourage you to go do it.
That I don't agree with.
Yeah, right.
But
that's pay to win. Yeah, that's like, you know, screw it.
Yeah, but if I mean, if you're taking that out of the picture, right, and it's just like, if it's like, well, dude, I mean, like, I suck at button fatalities. Actually, I can do them in MKX, but I don't think it's not like easy combos in the middle of a match.
Yeah.
If the match is done, it's just you want the flashy finish.
Yeah, exactly. But I just don't. I mean, people like freaked out to pay for that. On top of the game.
You don't have to.
If
pay
you can
for
buy
it
with in-game currency, that's totally cool. Mm. But if they're doing some bullshit where it's like they're making it really hard to buy it with in-game currency to the point like going back to Pokemon when you first can buy the bike and it's like $10 million, no one actually is ever going to do that.
It should be on the table out there.
Colin is upset. He does not know where the remote is.
I left all the remotes on the table.
Where it's like the game is designed for you to... There's no way for you to have that much money to actually buy it. You have to wait until you get the free bike voucher or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like this shit where they're like, you could get it within game.
Yeah, $1 gets you 5 easy fatalities. $5 gets you 30. And I believe they're just tokens, though. They're not. It's not like you're unlocking it for the rest of the thing.
That should be a constant. Like, yeah, it would have been a lot better if it was $5 for... all easy fatalities.
Whoa, hold up. You're paying $5
Kevin,
for like one time use shit?
Yeah. Yeah, that I agree with less.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. It's a token. You're spending once. Like you go into a match and you spend the token before.
I thought
or I
you
guess
meant like tokens are things that you can get in game and then buy stuff with.
Well, I think you gotta look at it two ways, right? One, is it worth it? No. Two, is it game breaking? No.
That's true.
I don't think like I said, like it's not easy combo like pay to win stuff.
Yeah, like it's not pay to win.
It's not pay to win. It's just it's dirty, but it's not pay to win.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with Evolve. People freaked out with Evolve DLC when it's like it's just skins.
Yeah.
If you want your fatalities, you just learn how to use the fatalities.
Yeah, like you don't have to buy this. Like just. It's not like oh, third fatality is going to be an extra $2. That would be bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's very dirty.
This isn't like, okay. That's my whole thing. Is it's like it's not bad, but it's not okay.
Yeah, it's a very yeah. I agree with that.
All right. At DJJB85. First off, I like you. You're a cool dude. I'm sure. But why do people have Twitter names that are just like typos? There's so many of them sometimes. I'm like, I don't even know why I'm writing this down.
Because nobody thinks it through in terms of like they're going to have to share that or somebody's going to need to read that or whatever. It's just their stupid Twitter to follow their friends or whatever.
There's a lot of pressure behind creating a username,
I get that. Yeah. I totally get that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to downplay your pressure.
Like they give you like your initials and then random numbers after it. And then like I signed up for my first YouTube channel with that. Like I didn't think anything. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, that means something to me or whatever. I never thought somebody else trying to find that.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about Deus Ex Mankind Divided? You guys excited? Lukewarm? Indifferent?
I didn't like the last Deus Ex. I tried to get into it, and I was just like, nah, this is not for me.
It's one of those games that Scarpino was all about.
Yeah.
That's one of the
loved it. A lot of people loved it, but for me, I jumped in there, like, the battery to do moves and stuff. I was just like, no, this isn't night. And people are like, oh, it's stealthy, though. And I'm like, well, fine, but make it stealthy. Don't make me, like, feel like I'm a very fucking underpowered cyborg.
Yeah.
Got a fucking Duracell in the back of my head that I can't. It's like, no, it broke it for me. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, so come on, use Energizer.
Yeah, come on.
That's a fucking joke. Never use Energizer. We're Duracell people here. But I did like the bunny. I'll always give the credit.
Bunny was good commercial. You didn't get a shout out in the last video about commercials.
Yeah, you should have. That game never stuck with me.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I'll wait to see when it comes out.
We got some call-in questions about Star Ocean because I don't think you guys have anything to add about that. I'll save those for next week. Okay, let's do one more question.
The final question.
Find a good one.
The final question.
Do you think there should be a Left 4 Dead 3?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck yes, there should be. Are you kidding me? A next gen or current gen Left 4 Dead? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
A thousand times yes.
And you think it'll work better than Evolve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Because zombies are hot.
Yeah.
Zombies are hot.
People love that franchise.
You sound like Kevin right now.
Fuck you, Tim.
Zombies are super hot. Everybody loves shooting zombies. And the problem with the reason Left 4 Dead works over Evolve is that it's so easy to wrap your head around.
Yep.
Everybody go shoot zombies with your friends. Got it. Evolve. Everybody go hunt your friend. By the way, each one of your character classes has some very specific things we need to learn. Please sit down. We have a video tutorial for you. All right. So you're gonna be the medic. Going, oh my god. I have an hour and a half to play with my friends. I don't feel like doing this. Now, there's a lot of games that work awesome like that. League, where there's strategies, and there's this, and there's that. And okay, obviously, Team Fortress. Like, okay, I understand class-based things and da-da-da. Class-based things, not every one of them blows up. Not everyone needs to be on the mainstream console that's getting everybody everything, right? Left 4 Dead worked because it was like, just go so fucking simple. Shoot shit with your friends. I got two Uzis. Great, you know what I mean? Yeah. Awesome.
It's just, you didn't need, like... Evolve needs a group of four skilled hunters, right? Who work together, like, very closely. And you don't need that with Left 4 Dead. And Left 4 Dead always gave me that, like, the thing I always wanted, which was just to unload bullets into a horde of zombies.
Right?
You always watch zombie movies, and you're just like, I just wish I could just unload a bunch of, like... weapons into these zombies, and they allowed
it
to do that.
It had that intensity to it of like, there's too many zombies for us to kill everything. Yep. We need to move.
You gotta
we
keep
need to
moving,
do this. Get to the safe room. Oh god, he didn't shut the door. Da, da. Like that was always awesome stuff.
Yeah, it's very simple and yeah.
Well, I think it's the thing with your friends too. Like I remember before that game came out when it was first being talked about, I was like, holy shit, we get to four of us together do this and have fun all doing the zombie thing. That sounds great. And like you don't need to have the skill levels and stuff, but it's just shocking to hear you say this because. Like, Alfredo, you're such a team-based, skill-based, like, you do have those friends that want to, like, each do a specific role and work as a team and do all this stuff. Like, why aren't you that way about this game?
With Evolve?
No, with Left 4 Dead.
Oh, because sometimes it's just fun to just shoot shit.
There's no better way to end this. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been the first and last ever episode 16 of the Kind of Funny Games cast. I didn't give the rigmarole in the beginning, but I'm sure you guys know by now that you can get this show early at Kind of Funny Games Patreon over at patreon.com/Kind of Funny Games. Yeah, I
saved
it.
Cover.
I saved it. Whatever. Cover. If not, you can get it for free over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames the next week. Topic by topic, Monday through Thursday. Full episode on Friday. And you can also get that audio, that sweet audio over on iTunes and a bunch of other podcast sites. And then you'll probably have issues with it, and you'll tweet at me, letting me know all your personal issues. Thank you for that. It really does help. I'm not being sarcastic. I need to know if there's holes in the system that we have.
Tim's got to plug
them. Double ups on your uploads and shit.
Getting them some double uploads. That?
Are you not seeing the episodes? Let me know. And let me know. Screenshot it and let me know exactly what's wrong. Thank you. Until next week, I freaking love you. All right. Y'all ready?
For this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.